Okay, I believe we have a quorum, so I'm going to start this special meeting of the Town LaGrange Zoning Board of Appeals for June 15th, 2020. This virtual meeting is being held under the auspices of Executive Order 202.1, issued by Governor Andrew Cuomo of the state of New York as a way to remain in compliance with the stay home, stay safe mandates while continuing to carry out town business. In keeping with this order, this meeting is being recorded and the video will later be posted on the town website. This meeting and public access procedures by computer and telephone have been announced on the town website and referenced on the town electronic message board at Stringham Road. As this is a special meeting, a notice was also published in the Poughkeepsie Journal on June 8th, 2020. Public should be aware this is a public meeting and we are hearing one item this evening. The first thing I would like to do is appoint alternate member Jared DeLeo as a full voting member of the Zoning Board of Appeals. The second item is a review of the minutes from our previous meeting that we actually had on February 3rd. Are there any changes, additions, or comments to those minutes?
I know Nancy had some stuff. Is it possible to waive this right now?
We can wait until next meeting.
Okay. Let us wait. I know that she had a few things. She had indicated they were mostly typos, but we can waive it. Okay. The item we have on our agenda is an appeal by Henry Hatfield that is coming from the planning board in regard to a building he would wish to construct. This building wishes to construct a pre-engineered steel building with a setback of 57.1 feet from County Road and 57.1 feet from a residential district. According to Town of LaGrange zoning law, section 240-28, the minimum setback from a right-of-way is 165 feet, and the minimum setback from a residential district is 300 feet. So that is the item that we are looking at right now. So Mr. Bodendorf or Mr. Hatfield, would you like to give us the details of what you're proposing?
Yes, Mike Bodendorf, engineer for the applicant. Just to give a quick rundown, this building will serve as an addition to one of the existing buildings on the site where majority of the current manufacturing is going on for these COVID-related items and other things. There's a series of rigging that folks might have noticed sitting out in the fields, yellow truss crane rigging. That will actually go into the building, which will help tremendously in the manufacturing efforts in being able to move these large pieces of equipment around to different stations, depending on what type of work they're doing on it, if it's welding or, cutting machines, what have you. We did look at other options for siting this building in other parts of the property, and, there were septic issues. You may know there's a floodplain here. Pushing it away from the road actually increases the impact to the floodplain. As part of our site plan, we are mitigating the fill that we are putting in the floodplain for this. If we had to push it closer to the creek, because a commercial building you have to have above the floodplain, we would have to bring even more fill in to accommodate a building. Thirdly, the building that we are attaching it to is the main building where, this not new manufacturing is going to go on, but it's really the only building that would really work for him. So that's where we arrived. you know, unfortunately, it does result in a need for an area variance, and it's, you know, the property line sort of jogs in a little bit right at the corner of our building. So we're really, you know, hitting the closest point there with the corner of the building. But the building, the size of the building is basically derived from the size of those crane riggings that he has there. He buys the crane, and then he builds a building around it so that you don't have to cut the crane to put it back into the building. So, Henry, do you want to add anything to your, I could let Henry just talk about what he's been manufacturing here and, you know, the need for this building and.
Yeah. Nature. Okay. Sure.
I'll move out of the way so you can get in front of the.
Okay.
Hello, Henry Hatfield, and to talk about the variance that we're requesting here. This is the most efficient way to put our addition up is to attach it to our existing manufacturing building, and there will be two craneways in this building where we'll be moving these chambers back and forth. We'd like to add machining centers so that we can machine some of these particular chambers for COVID don't require machining, but some of them may in the future. Where we've sent these chambers out, which adds lead time to these items, we'll be able to put in machining centers where we can machine the front flanges ourselves here, thus eliminating lead time. Also, currently, Kiewit is in here on a daily basis. Kiewit is the subcontractor the contractor, the main general contractor that's doing the tunnel under the Hudson River right now. And we've been building concrete forms. We've been building all kinds of machine parts, concrete pins. They're using us on a daily basis for the tunnel, which is quite essential. Is everybody familiar with the tunnel that's going on under the Hudson River? And we're local to them. We're the closest fabricator to this project, and it may very well be in the future that we've done other essential projects for. I know this COVID project kind of sparked everything, everybody's interest and sparked everything off, but we've done bridge reconstruction for the bridges in the area for New York State. There's fewer and fewer of us manufacturers, heavy fabricators around, and there's even fewer manufacturers expanding, especially in our area down here. And I would like to, as I mentioned previously to the planning board, but we started this 3 years ago, and it's just dragged on, and it's very unfortunate. If we actually got our permit a little bit sooner, we would have been able to process these 24 chambers so much quicker with this additional space and these heat exchangers that we're also making for Abbott. They're going directly to Abbott when the Virtus company over in Gardner is doing the assembly of the machine. It's their machine, but we're building all these chambers and heat exchangers for Virtus, which, and then in turn, they're selling them to Abbott. They need them as quickly as possible. So, as Mike mentioned, he mitigated. He said this is the best place for this building, and he did the flood mitigation, and he put it down closer to the creek, and I think he's taking care of all the engineering properly. I'd like to ask for this variance.
Thank you, Mike and Henry. Board members, do we have any comments or questions? Mike.
Yeah, so thank you for that brief presentation. I do want to address some of the concerns that were brought forth by a neighboring property that was in regards to any sort of light pollution to the drive-in theater and any noise. Can you, a letter was submitted to the board and I'd like to.
What kind of pollution?
Mike, let me just interject quickly. Sorry, Henry. I'll read the letter into the minutes so you know what precisely what they're being, what's being said. This letter came to the town of LaGrange and it is from Barry Horowitz, who is the president and owner of the Hyde Park and Overlook Drive-In Theaters. It reads, "Dear members of the ZBA, I am one of the owners of the Overlook Drive-In Theater Incorporated, 1 Whitesbridge Lane, Poughkeepsie, New York, 12603, which is adjacent to the parcel in question. Since there is no indication what the proposed building would be used for, I am objecting to this pre-engineered building being erected without knowing what the intended use of this building is for. I ask that if this building is to be used for manufacturing, then it would not be in operation any later than 6 p.m. so not to interfere with the operation of our drive-in theater. Also, if there is to be any exterior lighting on this building, I would ask that it would be directed away from our drive-in so the quality of the film being shown is not compromised. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. Sincerely yours, Hyde Park and Overlook Drive-In." That is the text of the letter that we received. Sorry, Mike, I just wanted to read it in.
Mm-hmm. No worries, thank you.
Okay, well, I mean, even if we did run a second shift in the building, they wouldn't know. There would be no outside activity. Everything would be internal, would be inside. There's no noise. Any noise that we would create would be contained within the walls of the building. Metal shops typically are a little noisy inside, but we don't have any exterior, you know, there won't be any exterior noise. As far as light, of course, we would probably want to put up some exterior lighting, for the parking lot and whatnot. But I wouldn't plan on lighting it up like a shopping center. I would certainly be respectful of my neighbor's comments there, and we wouldn't have any excessive lighting outside in the evening to impede his screen.
Thank you, Mr. Tapio.
And I'm not on camera, but just to add on that, any lighting we're proposing here, it's all shielded LED style lighting. You know, if many of you know those new style lighting, there's very little light spill beyond where you're supposed to put the light. And there'll be no glare towards the
drive interior whatsoever. Everything will be well shielded and
Mike, that's what we would call a down-directed light, that type of thing?
Yes, everything will be down-directed. And so you're looking at some small lights over ingress-egress doors of the building. Actually, currently, we don't have any light poles proposed in the parking lot. The lights from the building will illuminate it enough. I mean, and again, there's really not people working here at night. It's generally during 9 to 5 business hours. Occasionally when, you know, times get tight and they have to get something out, he does put a second shift on. But again, all that work is always done indoors if it's ever done on a second shift.
Thank you, Mr. Bundler.
Just one question. When I visited last week, Mr. Hetfield mentioned that he was essentially running a 4x10 shifts. Do those shifts end by 6?
Yes, the end of the day is 5:30, and
as Mike just mentioned, we do have a couple people running some of the automatic equipment in the evening, but you would never know. I mean, from the exterior, there's a few cars in the parking lot. There's very little activity because there's a few people running the automatic equipment, maintaining the automatic equipment at night. Okay. It's not a full second shift.
Are there other questions from the board? Hello, Nancy. I see you just joined us.
Yes.
And
sorry,
so what,
sorry, I went away to look at PBS News.
So let me just brief you quickly on where we're at. Mr. Bordendorf and Mr. Hatfield have given us a quick summary of what is being proposed and what this building would be used for. We have also read into the record the letter we received from Hyde Park and Overlook Drive-In Theaters. That is exactly what we've been discussing right now in regards to lighting and noise. And that is pretty much where we're at. I have solicited comments from the board members.
All right, can you hear me? Am I unmuted?
Okay. Coming through good.
Well, I hate to ask questions because, you know, I wasn't here to hear it, so I'm probably being redundant. When did this start when was it before the planning board to start the project? When was the first meeting with the planning board?
That was back in 2017.
Wow. So
just to explain the history of that, we made our way through the planning board. And then they directed us to get health department approval. And there was some uncertainties of the water system in the town at the time, whether they could provide water service or we were going to continue to use our wells. So there was a little bit of time spent on that. And then, you know, just there's two existing septic systems on the site. We're proposing a completely new septic system that's capable of providing, or it has capacity for the entire site.
Okay, so the thrust of my question is, so the making the vaccine was not what originated this variance request.
Well, I think
you had other things in mind, right?
I believe that I'll let Henry speak to that, but I believe that these machines you've been manufacturing these for quite some time. Just not to the capacity that they're asking for now.
That's correct. We've been making these machines since 1970, since we've been on this site. We've been making laboratory equipment for Virtus. And since then, we've actually branched out to two other pharmaceutical companies, which also use our services, which we also do contract work for. It just so happened that, as I mentioned in the last planning board meeting, that I had never dreamed that we would become so vital to this COVID effort, or so we would receive such an essential project that we have now.
So when did it become bigger? Just a few months ago?
Yeah, just 2 months ago.
You changed the size of the building just a few months ago. Is that right?
No. The building has always been the size that it is. And again, you know, it's not just these machines that he can manufacture in here, but this building will provide an optimum environment for ramping up the production. Because right now, I think you can put out maybe one
every couple of weeks. Right. If we have the additional space, we could probably do 2 to 3 a week.
So you'd be running operations like simultaneously, like a automobile manufacturer would
Right.
Building three cars at one time instead of one car at a time. You're just going to do it a lot faster. You're just going to have more of them being built. So you need more space to do the work.
And then you might not have been in the meeting yet, Nancy. We were explaining that this building will also provide crane rigging built into the building where, you know, you can move large machines from one place to another much more efficiently than he currently can. So that as part of that whole being able to do more than one at a time, that really is essential in you know, making this possible.
Okay. You mentioned the Hyde Park drive-in theater. Is that something, I guess, Paul, have to ask you, is that something that we need to take into account, the noise and those conditions?
The drive-in theater? I had read that letter to Mr. Bodendorf and Mr. Hatfield, and they had replied that the noise or manufacturing noise would be contained within the building. Also that the amount of manufacturing occurring second shift was not anticipated to be that great. And also that there would be no pole lights in the parking lot, and those that were there would be down-directed LED lights.
So they're saying it's not going to be a 24-hour operation full tilt at this point?
That's correct.
So you'll do most of your work on a day shift?
That's right.
And just, we're in the building right now. It's dead quiet in here. We're in their conference room, but...
Because you haven't gotten permission yet, right?
It's very quiet in this building right now.
Okay. And has the planning board come up with conditions that they're going to make you follow?
Yes, we appeared at their last month's planning board. There were some remaining comments from the engineer that we addressed. The engineer acknowledged that we addressed all of his comments. So now it's the health department. We have their blessing. I don't know if we have it in writing yet, but I have it verbally. So these are the last pieces to put together to bring this to fruition.
Okay. I read in a couple of places that you want to bring stuff that's stored outside. Inside. I mean, it sounds almost as if you're building the building just to hide materials from being seen from the road.
Okay, we explained that. Maybe you weren't on the meeting.
No.
So there's large crane truss
beams
that are sitting out in the field right now. That's, you know, that's sort of what the building is for, is that you build the building around this crane so you don't have to take it apart to get it in the building. And the size of the crane sort of dictates the size of the building that you need. So those yellow truss steel members that if you've noticed driving by that are sitting in the field, those will all be in the building. So there'll be essentially no equipment being sitting outside between the building and DeGarmo Road once the building's up.
But it seems sort of like a waste of a building to build it just to hide equipment from the road.
The equipment is necessary for a crane. It's an internal building crane. That's what it's. We're not hiding it. It's necessary to be able to move equipment around.
Okay.
And it's only, you know, it only works if it's attached to a building.
Okay. All right. No, I have no more questions. And again, I apologize. I didn't realize you were working to come back tonight. So.
Okay. Jared, Leanna, any questions, comments?
So how long will this building take to come to be built?
It's approximately three to 4 months. Once the steel hits the site, it might take about 3 months to order it, 3 to 4 months to erect it. once the steel hits the site, inside of a year.
Oh, okay. So it might not really help the COVID. We hope.
If Abbott decides to order even more of these machines, if we were allowed to build this a year and a half ago, it would have helped immensely.
Yep.
And I don't know what's down the road. As I just mentioned, we're doing quite a bit of work for Kiewit. A number of years ago, maybe some of you recall when they, I didn't want to talk about this because it's terrible, but the bridge on the thruway fell in and cars drove off the bridge into the ravine. It was probably 20 years ago. If there's some kind of a bridge emergency, we're doing quite a bit of bridge work for the different contractors. This building and those cranes out there would be able to handle steel and erection and emergency services like that in our local area. And we would become another very essential form. So I don't know what's down the road. I mean, I'm half crazy for doing this. I'm 58 years old. My brother's 55. We have two sons that want to do this. And we want to see this building, this business expand so that they can grow into this. My son's going to school for welding engineering, and it's probably going to be three generations of, we're in business now 70 years, and we want to see this business grow and succeed.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Great.
Okay. Just wanting to grab a copy of a notes I have here. So what is the, the construction of this building, how is it, what will it look like?
Pretty much if you've seen the other buildings on site, steel construction, corrugated steel exterior shell, corrugated steel roof.
Correct, yes.
Same light blue color as the other buildings on the site. Probably not many windows.
Right.
Windows on the entry doors, maybe the roll-up doors. I don't know if you had any windows up high on it to let natural light in.
No.
It's a steel warehouse building.
And how tall would it be?
I think right around 35 feet.
Okay. Is that the same height or greater than the existing buildings?
It's greater. We need more hook height under the cranes for larger fabrications, namely for these large forms that Kiewit needed. We got them done, but it was with much difficulty. Bechtel also, there was some work we turned away for Bechtel for the power plant out in Dover because we couldn't do it. And they were hoping we could do it because we were so close to the site, but we couldn't do it. It was too big for us. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of bit of, from time to time it pops up, there's a lot of local work, bridge work, road construction work, where we could build these large fabrications right here locally, if we had this additional space, and we're going to need a tall building to do this.
Mm-hmm. Now, another consideration is, it happened, since you originally created your buildings, is now we have an apartment complex, just across the street from you. Even if you are running, let's say, a full shift operation, do you have an idea how much, if any, noise would escape from the building?
We We are the only Zone 3 industrial space in LaGrange. Heavy industrial, able to operate 24/7, make as much noise as we want, but we don't. Viking Ironworks, who just recently closed, which is in the industrial park, in our industrial park, and we're buying their building. And we're going to assume that space. I'm not even sure what we're going to do with it at the moment. It doesn't fit our model for expansion because it's not connected to our building. But Viking, for the past 40 years, had a Ford shop over there, and they hammered. And when they hammered, you heard them like you heard the train whistle down by the river. I don't know if many of you have heard Vikings hammering. We would never create noise like that from our space. There's nothing that we could do in this in the building that would create the kind of noise that Viking had down there. Technically, we're Zone 3, which means we can make as much noise as we want 24/7, but we don't. So I want to be respectful when I say that, but you're asking for something that we're able to do, you know, right? I mean, I'd have to check the code again, but I believe that's what my father said to me. He said, we're the only Zone 3 in LaGrange. And that's why Viking could hammer away down there and nobody could say anything. And they hammered. I don't know, does anybody remember Viking hammering?
I remember it from Overlook Elementary School when I went there.
The kids in grade school heard it, and that hammer echoed throughout the valley. And they just closed, so there will be no more hammering down here in the industrial park, LaGrange Industrial Park. Anyway, we're going to run a quiet operation.
Would you expect to see a significant change in your traffic volume?
No. I mean, we'll probably eventually hire probably 10 to 15 more people over time, possibly. But the space is for larger fabrications, and it just takes a lot more space to put some of these large machining centers in and handle these. It doesn't take a lot more people, but it takes a lot more space to build these larger fabrications.
Mm-hmm. You just prompted a different question. Do you feel comfortable that your ingress and egress roads and things, including the local roads, would handle any sort of large fabrications that you may develop?
Well, the driveway that we want to enter and exit out of on White Bridge Lane, which is the drive-in. Are they viewing that right now? Are they viewing this map, or is that just us?
Well, no, I don't think they can see this map.
Okay.
Do you have the site plan there?
Yeah, we do. We can share it if you would like.
No, you could. I have it. I actually have it open on another table. I don't know about the other board members, though.
All right. Well, we have a.
I can try sharing it. I think I need permission to do it, but let me see if it works.
I made you co-host, Mike.
Okay. Let's see if this one does it. Can you all see that?
Yes. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. So Henry was talking about this driveway here. So the main point of ingress egress is the driveway here just to the north of what used to be Deborah T's. And that accesses the site. This currently is sort of a dirt road here. We want to improve that so that there's two points of ingress egress, depending on what's coming in, what's going out. The planning board did review that and, you know, found it acceptable. And it's probably just better, you know, for fire code and everything to have two points of ingress egress out of this industrial park anyway.
It's actually a safer, a much, much safer entry and exit because you have visibility in both directions. The hill that we come down right now is it's a little tricky. You have that hill is blind, and when you're pulling out, if somebody's going too fast, especially for tractor trailers who can't pull out very quick, it's a much nicer entrance exit, much nicer.
And I don't know if you can see this well, but this little portion of the driveway is actually old Overlook Road when White's Bridge was there back in the, I guess, the early 70s.
No, that's good. Actually, I had wondered why there is that odd little
triangular
property subdivision there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it never, I guess they never extinguished the right of way for that. So it still exists.
Okay. I have no further questions. For the record, I would like to open a public hearing at this time. Can I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Aye.
Second, Nancy.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Do we have any comments or questions from the public? I do recall we had at least one public member on the call. Okay, well, if not, I believe we should close the public hearing. May I have a motion to that effect?
So moved, Nancy.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, public hearing is closed. Board members, have you heard sufficient information for us to render a decision?
I've heard of sufficient information.
I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good.
Good. All righty. I'd like to run through the record of findings.
Mr. Chair, one moment. Can we just can we have him close the screen share?
Oh, certainly, Mike.
Did that do it?
Yeah,
yes. Thank you. Okay. Application was presented by Henry Hatfield and Michael Bordendorf, representing Hatfield Incorporated. In making determination on area variance application, this board must take into account consideration of the benefits to the applicant. If the variance is granted as weighed against the detriment to the health, safety, and welfare of the neighborhood or community by such grant. In doing so, this board is going to weigh the following statutory criteria. The first one being the impact on the character of the neighborhood and detriment to nearby properties. I'd like to say this is an industrial property. There's several buildings on the property currently. They are all of the same construction and of the same color, which lends some continuity to the manufacturing site. It's also, you know, by itself, the addition of this structure will not change the character of the industrial part of the neighborhood. I would say, though, this is a large building, and it is going to be, you know, very visible from the surrounding area. However, it should, you know, once again, it seems to be done in a tasteful manner and will be consistent. alternative methods for achieving the same result. It appears that the applicant, you know, has gone through a significant review in terms of the placement of this building regarding to floodplains, you know, additional wastewater control, as well as essentially the manufacturing and use of the building. So I believe there has been a substantive review of other mechanisms for achieving this result. If I think about the substantiality of the variance, it is a substantial variance. I mean, you're asking for, you know, essentially, you know, what appears to be almost a little over 100 feet out of a requirement of 165 foot variance, and you know, about 180 some odd feet out of, no, 242 feet out of a setback of 300 from the residential. So the variance, I believe, is quite significant. I believe that also we would say that it has been self-created, but the business is growing, and the structure we use primarily for fabrication and manufacturing of, you know, additional metalwork and items, and they will be necessary for both the infrastructure of our surrounding areas, as well as for you know, the general well-being of of our country, you know, given the types of things you are manufacturing and propose to continue manufacturing. I'd like to add a stipulation that if we are going to grant this variance, that the applicant plant sufficient vegetative trees and maintain said trees between the building and the road, so as to reduce its impact both upon the road and upon the residential community, as well as plant trees or other items as appropriate between the building and the drive-in, so as to reduce any chance of stray light or stray noise, and also maintain said trees and vegetation. The board members have any additions or changes to what I just said?
I like the addition of the vegetation, and I was wondering if you wanted to make it a condition that the trees be year-round, have leaves year-round, you know, whether it's like a evergreen tree, so that, you know, it's always there as a barrier.
I think that's a good point, Nancy. I was thinking, as long as the vegetation met the criteria of reducing both noise and visibility year round, I really didn't care what kind of trees.
Okay. Well, most of the non-conifers lose their leaves in the fall. So half the year light can go through and
Are any other modifications? Okay, I'd like to call the vote then. I guess I'll just go in order of the pictures I see on my screen.
Do you have to move the resolution?
Yes.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, I'd like to call the vote. Mike Polishek?
I vote aye.
Leanna?
I vote aye.
Jared?
Aye.
Nancy?
Aye.
Myself? Aye. The motion and resolution are carried. So, Mike and Henry, you have your variance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, everybody, for making this special meeting. We really appreciate it. And
okay. You're welcome.
Okay.
In lieu of any other business, I move to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.